Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another night in the Red Room Radio. I am so excited that we are in the Red Room again. I have to first apologize to any of our listeners that are coming back to us tonight at 9:30. Our show was originally scheduled for 8 o'clock. When I say to you, we work hard in the Red Room, outside the Red Room, and I will say again, my co-host, James Wilson, who I call the hardest working man in Hotlanta. James, I think I'm going to have to kind of share the title with you because today came with so many challenges and work just kind of tied me up and we both had so many challenges. But I so appreciate you making the time for us to be able to come into the Red Room at a later time. But do know that any of you that are listening to our show tonight, we're going to give you a great show even though it has been delayed. But we still made sure we came into the Red Room tonight. I'm so excited because we have a special guest. And our topic tonight, we are talking about the must ask questions for dating. And I think it's a very important show. And I'm really excited that we have a guest on the show for us tonight to share in our topic. James, can you please introduce our special guest?
So tonight we have a longtime friend of mine. We go back to middle school. We finally reconnected a couple months ago because we both are up-and-coming authors. I want to introduce to everyone in the Red Room Ashley B. Hodges. She is the author of Keeping God First. She's a D.C. native. She received her bachelor's from Johns Hopkins Smith with a 3.3 GPA. So to you all, I introduce my good friend Ashley Hodges. Ashley, are you in the room with us tonight?
I am. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm nervous. This is my first time, but I'm good. I'm happy to be here and happy to be welcomed by you, Shelley, and, of course, you, James.
Finally, well, right?
I'm just so excited that you've agreed to be a guest on our show and just the you know, opportunity for us to have any guest in our Red Room is always definitely welcome. And I want you to give us just some background on you, your book, just, you know, how things, you know, came to be for you and where you are, and for you being able to, you know, share with us in the Red Room tonight.
Okay. First off, as James said, I am a D.C. native. I had the opportunity to go to college at Johns Hopkins Smith University, CIAA, for anybody that's listening. I've actually been writing since middle school. It started off as a hobby, and I would write poems. As I branched off into college, I actually was able to hone that craft, and I was a part of a poetry group at my university, my undergraduate university. Came back home, and, of course, you know, kind of got delayed, got back into a little struggle mode, and met a guy. Long story short, had a baby with him. And at this time, of course, I was involved in the church and being a single mother in the church with no father beside you and no ring on your finger. I'm sure everybody knows how that stigmatism goes, how the treatment goes, just everything that comes along with that. After I had my son, I was just to a point of frustration because I've seen it so many times before in my church where, you know, a young woman will be pregnant and nobody will support her, you know, nobody would encourage her. And so I decided to write the book Keeping God First, just near and dear to me because it was an encouragement to me that, you know, even though I am young, even though I did have a child outside of marriage, you know, even though all these things that people view as mistakes, you know, these are still learning tools, still learning lessons, and I've learned a lot from everything that I went through. So I wanted to share that with everybody that, you know, that I could. You know, everybody that I can reach, that I can encourage, I definitely wanted to do that. And so that's why, that's what inspired me to publish my book, Keeping God First.
Awesome. Well, we're gonna have to put a plug for your book first and foremost. Where can we purchase your book? Any of our listeners that are interested in getting your book, tell us how we can get your book.
Okay, you guys can do it two ways. The first way, I publish through Kindle Direct Publishing. And if you guys go actually on the Kindle website and type in Ashley Hodges, it'll bring my information up. I did that, and I did Create Space, which if you go to the website, I'll be sure to give you that information to share with them. But that's the way that you can bring it to print, or you can get it from print. So you can either get it electronically or on print.
Okay. Awesome, awesome. And it's always great to have, you know, a fellow author to just be able to share their experiences, because I always say that everyone has a story, and it just takes true strength and encouragement from just the people that you know that you have helped to be able to, you know, put what it is that you want to share in print for other people to get something from it. I mean, if you help one person, then it was all worth it. So I congratulate you for such a huge, huge accomplishment.
Thank you.
So let's dive into the topic tonight, because I am fully aware that we are competing against something that I'm so not a part of, and I think I'm you know where I'm going to go with this. You know, and James, I was made aware that, you know, we were going to have some competition with the show tonight, since we did reschedule it for a later time. And I have to say, I am so appreciative of the support that I have with this radio show, because I could not do it by myself. I mean, it's just no way I could. And James has been the best co-host. I seriously say that he's more than just a co-host. He's a friend. He's, you know, that person that just steps in and helps me out, to, you know, either to encourage me to keep it moving and keep it going, and to just make sure that we keep this vision that we have for this radio show alive. So I just want to say that I thank you so very much for everything that you've done, you know, with this radio show. But I was made aware that we're competing against Scandal.
Yes.
And I'm probably one of the few people that do not watch the radio show, that does not watch that TV show. I don't even know why. I mean, I record a lot of shows, but it's one that I just have not gotten into. There is some feedback from some background noise. James, you stepped in and you're operating the studio for me tonight. I'm not quite sure who it is. But if you could see where the feedback is coming from, I'd appreciate it. So we're going to try. I think we have like 20 minutes to get in those faithful listeners that you know, follow us every week. And for those who listen to our archive shows, I'm sure you can appreciate the fact that we did keep it moving, even though we are competing against one of the most popular TV shows on the TV network right now. What I want to do is I want to dive into the topic. I think that dating is something that we take too casually, and one of the reasons why we make so many mistakes in dating is because we don't plan it. We don't go through a process before it happens. We just let it happen. But if you are single and you are stepping into that dating place, there's things that you should know and understand. And I think part of that is communication. And with that communication, it is asking certain questions. Now, we have a tendency to just casually have conversation. And whether it's through, you know, social network dating, online dating, face-to-face dating, there's the communication piece is very important before you actually meet face-to-face. So some of the questions that we're going to talk about tonight, please, listeners, keep in mind that it could either be during the phone conversation to decide if you're going to meet face-to-face, or it could be the face-to-face conversation or the face-to-face meeting. So I want to just start with, and I'm going to go last, I want to take an opportunity to give Ashley to start with, what do you think are some very important questions? And you can either start with one question or you can go through a list of questions that are so important that we need to ask to determine whether or not this is something that's going to lead somewhere or if it's something that's just going to, it's going to end very quickly.
Okay. I'm going to start off and say that I'm a futuristic type of woman. So one of the first questions I'm definitely going to ask a male that I think I'm interested in or that's interested in me is, where do you see yourself in 5 years? You know, what have you accomplished thus far? And what are your goals and what are your ways to reach them?
Okay. I think those are very good questions. But let me ask you this question, Ashley, and I'm going to agree that those questions are definitely on my list. But I want you to share why you think those are very important questions to ask and what do you think from those answers will help you determine whether or not this is someone that you want to explore the opportunity of seeing further.
Okay. Well, I think the question about the goals that you have and your means to reach your goals is important because for me personally, I need to be sure that I'm not wasting my time. I don't really want to sound like a jerk, but I feel like once you reach a certain age in your life or once you reach a certain height in your life as far as being a parent, there are certain things that you just really don't have time for. Like, you don't really have time for somebody who's still trying to figure things out. You know, you kind of want somebody that has an idea of where they're going so that you know, okay, are we building together? You know, what I have and what you bring to the table, can we put this together and build more? You know, can we create more from this? Can I talk to you and get ideas? Can you talk to me and get ideas? You know, can you, you know, if you need me to hold you down, can I hold you down? Can you hold me down if I need you to hold me down? You know,
right.
The question about where do you see yourself in 5 years, I feel like that's a way for me to know how you feel about yourself personally. You know, what type of potential do you feel like you have as an individual? You know, before you could ever be somebody that caters to me, you have to cater to yourself first. So what do you think about yourself? You know, if you want to be an attorney, you know, you want to be in school, you know, whatever it is that you want to reach, okay, whatever it is that you want to do, you know, what do you think about yourself? Because ultimately what I can tell a person thinks about themselves is where they see themselves. You understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
That is so, so very important. So very important. And I think that's one of those, the way that you put it was so, it's so simple, but so powerful at the same time, because if a person can't see their own goals, then they can't work with you with your goals, because it has to be a partnership. So if they have no goals, then they can't support you in yours. So at the end of the day, what that person is actually going to do, they're going to divert you from you achieving your goals, because there will come a time where when you have goals and they don't, it can form some type of resentment. It's like, oh, she's got all these goals and she's doing these things and, you know, I have nothing for myself. So now she's got this life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have that part of a life. So now I've got to figure out how I can pull her away from that to be where I am. Or you end up supporting someone. And you're supporting someone, but you don't even know what you're supporting them in. You're supporting them in trying to find a goal. And like you said, Ashley, when you get to a certain point, you just don't have the time to invest in certain things. And I think that was very powerful. If you have no goals, then you know that tells you what they, you know, how they feel about themselves and what they see in themselves. I like that.
Right.
I really like
Thank
that.
You. Yeah, had some hard lessons.
And, you know, and the thing of it is, all of our lessons, if we would bring them to the table and share them, then it could either prevent somebody from going through what we've been through or help somebody going through the same thing that we've been through. So it's one of those, I think sharing is so important because it teaches us something, and it also helps to teach, you know, other people. James, do you have anything you want to add?
I'm in agreement. I was kind of in a state of speechlessness, not a word, but I'm using today. But I mean, you know, I agree. I need to know. excuse me. I need to know what your game plan is. Like, do you plan on being with me for eternity, for a season, for a week? You know, is it just a one night thing, or will you be able to handle me and my children, or me and my family, or do you want children? Do you want children with me? Do you know? I need to know these things. Tell me what's going on, and don't try to play me with it. Just put everything on the table from the jump.
Absolutely. Well, I can add this one little piece to it because you know I got to put a little humor in everything. That's one question I'm glad I don't have to ask because at my age. I don't have to ask, do you want children?
And you're right.
Because if the answer is yes, I'm asking, check please. it's just not possible for me right now. I'm about to turn 50. That is not an equation in my life. I mean, I'm not trying to be famous. So if that is something that you are interested in, just please know and understand it's not going to happen with me. But I think that is a really good question that people feel like maybe I shouldn't ask because it seems like it's too forward or it's asking too much. But if you think about it, when you start dating someone, and you don't know whether they, I mean, especially if you're within that age where, you know, you may want children or you can have children, and you don't ask that question, if it comes out later, then that's not a good thing. So I think that's very important. And for me personally, I'll add to that, to the whole children aspect of it. For me, at my age, one of the questions that I would have to ask, and I think we've even talked about this on one of our other shows, I don't think that I used to think that my expectations and what I want from a relationship and you know what I want to give in a relationship may be unfair in from someone else's perspective. But I think that for me, it's what I want, and I won't settle. I choose not to date a man who has children any younger than my own children. My youngest is 15. I am not interested in dating a man who has a six-year-old child because I'm just not in that place in my life. Is it fair for me to be able to, and some may say, oh, you're discriminating because the right guy could come along. Well, he's obviously not going to be the right guy, which who I say God is preparing for me because God already knows what I'm able to handle in my life right now.
Let me jump in, Shelley, because I'm glad you said that because I actually was going to say another question that I do ask is how do you feel about dating a woman that has children? And that's just me personally. You know, I always hear people that say, you know, that God gives you what you need. You know, he doesn't always give us what we want, but he'll give us what we need. So in my opinion, it's not discriminating, but I do feel as though if the right man does come along for you and he has everything else on your checklist minus this child, well, okay, don't go lower than six because then, you know, there's still some iffiness there. Or as to whether or not he still wants to procreate. But, you know, if he comes and he's got everything else on your checklist, and except for this child that's, you know, a six-year-old, I feel like at some point in time you probably will be like, okay. And it's not a settle. It's just a, okay, it changed. It changed because this is what you have to offer me. You know, this is what you do for me. This is what I can do for you. You know, this is how we do this together. So I can change that little bit in that area because you have this much in this area.
I love it. I love it when people, when a person is bold enough and has that connection, and I say it has to be a connection because you truly know when you speak what you speak that it's truly what needs to be said, can say things that make me say, you know, you might be right. And Ashley, you are so right with what you're saying because I think we sometimes create this list of things that we say we want and we leave no room for the what if because we just stand firm on, this is what I want, this is what I want. And if anything outside of that comes to me, then I'm just going to say no to it. So you're right. I would have to say that, you know, if everything else was in line, I just know that when that person is presented to me, if that was the person who God truly intends for me to be with, I wouldn't even see how old that child is.
Right.
So you're right. I love it.
I like that.
It just, it opens your mind to the possibility of you seeing things in one way, but the what if it presents itself in a different way.
Okay.
So I really appreciate that, Ashley. I thank you for that. I'm gonna tell you one thing. If he comes along and he has a kid younger than six, you know I'm gonna call you, right?
Yeah, because I'm gonna tell you right that hang that one up. Nope, let it go. Let it walk on by, Shelly. Let it walk on by. I'm like, nope, he ain't done, Shelly. He ain't done.
He might be
a rolling stone. I don't know.
You spoke that one into existence, and I'm just not even understanding it. But I'm just gonna go with the flow. And I just, you know, and I go back to the comment that you made. It's just kind of, you know, sometimes my mind is all over the place. And with the day that I've had, it's just things just they come and I just have to say it. But I want to go back to something that you said, Ashley, about asking someone about their goals. And that is so important because when you're asking someone what are your goals and where do you see yourself, it allows you to see how serious that person takes themselves. Because if they have no goals, then it's like, you know, how serious do you look at your life? And if you're not looking at your life serious, you can't really look at a relationship serious. So it kind of answers the question that is on the list of, you know, what is your definition of a relationship?
Right.
Because if you have no goals in your own for your own personal self, then you really don't have goals for a form of a partnership, which is what a relationship is. And you know, and aside from just saying, you know, where do you see yourself in 5 years or however long, that's a good question. But you also want to follow that up with, you know, what are you doing to reach those goals? And, you know, kind of, and when their answer gives you an opportunity to assess and see, you know, how serious they are about taking the steps to get there. And that tells you how serious they are about themselves. So that just kind of just jumped out at me when we were talking. But I think that's really important because, you know, a person's definition of what one person's definition of what a relationship is can be totally different from someone else's because we talked about this, James, on another show, and, you know, one person's definition could just be, you know, it could be an open relationship, it could be a committed relationship, it could be I'm married and I have free time relationship. It could just be, the word relationship is so broad that you just have to dig deep to find, you know, what the real answer is. Now, one question I want to talk about is the kids. I think that for women, when a man asks how many kids do you have, the answer is pretty clear and simple. We say how many kids we have. But for a man, when he answers that question, and it's just the way life is, most of the time, the kids live with the mother, not in all cases, because there are a lot of single fathers out there that are raising kids, and I applaud them in a way that it to me, it's just they should be given, you know, kudos for taking on the responsibility, because it's not the norm. But when you ask a man how many kids does he have, and if he says two, okay, two kids, that's fine, that still doesn't tell me anything.
Because then there's going to be a follow-up question, like, have you been married? You know, then that starts to strike a whole lot of conversations. Do you have two baby mothers? You know, what's going on with that? You know, yeah.
See, we're on the same page, Ashley. We're so on the same page. Because if you have two kids, and let's just say they're both by different mothers, no one's judging.
Right.
But if you have two children and they're by different mothers, I'm going to have a follow-up question. And it may be direct or it may be subtle. But I want to know, how much time do you spend with your children?
That's a good one, too.
Because,
and do you pay for them? Do you get the money?
Exactly. And that's important.
Right.
Now, people may say, well, why does it matter to you whether or not they financially support their children or they spend time with their children? Because in my book, I write about how women need to assess how a man treats his children to determine how he will treat her. Because if he can wine and dine you, but he can't help take care of his own kids, he's not the one. I'm just sorry. If he can't go to a PTA meeting, if he can't go to a dance recital for his daughter or support his son's, you know, soccer games or his football games or his basketball games, but yet he can take you to the club and meet you at the bar, he's not the one. Because if a man can turn his back on his own flesh and blood, a responsibility that he created, he's not going to take care of me the way that I want to be taken care of and the way that I'm going to take care of him, because it's got to be reciprocal. So when we ask that question of, do you have kids, and they said, and the guy says yes, and okay, so how many, and then how old are they? I need to know how much time you spend with your children, because that will tell me how you value taking care of your children. And let's not get into the whole, if you don't, please.
Okay. So it talks about how you value your children, but it also talks about how you value the family unit as well. You know,
yes.
Most males want to be in that, they want to be that dominant role, or they want to be in that leadership role. Well, okay, a leader leads people. You know what I'm saying? A leader takes care of their people as well. You know, I've been in various situations where guys have tried to talk to me, and, you know, with my son, I'm like, okay, cool, you know, but I'm not going to let you come over here and play house with me, and you're not even taking care of your business that you already established on the street. I won't be the reason for that. And I've stopped talking to so many guys, and my brother, he always gets mad at me, and I'm like, I can't allow a man to make me the reason why he neglects his children. I refuse to do that. And then I have a child, so I can definitely attest to, you know, what I went through with my child's father. I'm just like, I refuse to be the other woman that allows that man to be that and be okay with that. But you can come over here and you can take care of my child, you can take care of me, but you can't dish out any money or you can't spend any time with your children. So that's why I would have the issues, and that's why the questions would start flowing, like, okay, hold on, wait a minute, red flag, you know, blowing whistles, flag on play, hold on, because I need to know, you know, that what I'm getting myself into, I'm fully prepared for it. You know, and that's why I think that all these questions are good, because it helps us to be fully prepared and to fully know and be fully ready for what it is that we're getting ready to walk into. Because so many times I like to say this, that women, we like to hone in on the potential of a man. We see his reality, but we ignore it because we're honing in on his potential, and we're like, but you can be this, you can be this, but we're not honest with ourselves about what he is right now. And so what he is right now has to take precedence over what he can be, because otherwise we'll always fool ourselves and we're always going to keep making the same mistake, and then we'll be bouncing from relationship to relationship, or we'll be unhappy, or, you know, all these things. But we have to hone in on the realities instead of the potential that these men have.
Take them to church.
I'm telling you, if you could see the dance I just did from what you just said, oh my gosh, that is so powerful, because we fool ourselves. And I'm going to say this, there are some women out there that feel that if this man has children and he's spending time with you and your child, then that means that he really cares about me. And they see it as something positive, but they don't see that's not what it is. Because they're not looking at the fact that this man has children that he's not taking care of, but yet he's here taking my child, you know, out to dinner when we go out to eat. And he's here, you know, watching, you know, movies with my kid, but yet he's not doing anything for his own child. You have to have a certain kind of feeling about that. And if you don't, you have some deep issues within yourself as a woman. If you can allow that to happen in a relationship with someone and not think there's something wrong with it. And I mean,
now I have a question.
Okay.
I'm not taking nobody's side for anything. Let me say that now, because I know y'all going to beat me up. But what about those fathers who want to play a part in their child's life, but then they have the baby mothers who don't allow them to do that? Say you have a baby mother who picks up and moves your child to Texas, and you're in New York. So the mother of your child basically just took your child away from you, so you can't see your child, you can't go to their game. And then you also have those mothers who don't even want you to be financially supportive of your child. What if you run into that type of situation?
I have an answer for that. I'm going to say that it's going to show in his reactions, because anything that's dear to a man, if it bothers him that much, he's going to speak up about it, and he's going to say, look, this chick getting on my nerves, you know, she doing this, she doing that, you know, and sometimes we like to take it as, why are you tripping off of her and you doing this, you doing that, but no, he's expressing himself about what he feels, because I have three brothers. This is why I know whatever is dear to a man's heart, he's going to speak up about it, and he's going to express himself about it. So I can tell the sincerity of a man by what comes out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm. And I was gonna say the same thing. I totally agree with you. You can tell if it's a situation where it is ripping a man's heart out because he cannot see his kids. You can tell if it's he wants to give the time, he wants to invest the time or the finances or whatever, but he's not being allowed to because for some reason the mother is preventing it. But it comes through, like Ashley said, either through his communication or if you realize every time that subject comes up, you see his reaction. I mean, one of the things that I wanted that we're going to talk about towards the end of this conversation is a person's reaction to the questions that you're asking and how they respond to you. The eyes are the window to the soul. If you ask a man a question like that and you can sincerely see through them that they are hurt by the fact that they can't see their kids or their child, and it's no fault of their own. Now, I'm going to honestly say to you that there are some situations where it is unhealthy for one parent to spend time with the other because you have some parents that have not gotten past that stage of bitterness and angriness and just the whole resentment toward the relationship not working out. So whatever time they spend with that child, it's not about the child. It's still about the parent, whether it's the man or the woman. And I will honestly say women have a tendency to do this, and it is so sad. They use the children as pawns. And if you come across a man who communicates that, you'll be able to see through the way that he communicates and how he talks about that situation as whether or not it's one where he's being prevented from being able to spend time with that child or he just chooses not to. So I think that's a very important piece to dating is that conversation about the kids. But I think there's another piece that's important, too, is ask the question about, and for a man, I will always say that this is very, very important, is getting to finding out how that man has, what kind of relationship he has with his parents.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, yes. Lord Jesus, yes.
I still say that if a man is disrespectful to his mother, the woman that brought him into this world, honey, child, sister, girl, he is only going to have a certain amount of respect for you. Because I know there are some mothers that may not have been the greatest mother. And for challenges or just the lack of knowing how to be a good mother or whatever the case may be, a son has a bond with his mother that is unlike any other bond. Mm-hmm. And if that son has a relationship with the mother, but it's a disrespectful relationship, it's one where it's just not a good relationship. He has some issues. And those issues are going to be seen in how he deals with you. And I will say this. Mm-hmm. I dated a guy who his mother was not a very warm woman, but the relationship that he had with his mother was so uncomfortable for me that I kind of looked past it for a little while, but then at some point it was like, I just had to say something. I was like, please never let me hear you speak to your mother like that ever again. I'm being honest. I mean, it was something as simple as the mother worked at night. And she had a car and she drove, but where she worked, it was easier for her to catch public transportation. And this particular night, it was a Friday, she had gotten off from work later than she had expected and missed the bus for her connection to get home. And she called him. When she called him, we were out on a date. he told her, that's not my problem, because she had called him to see if he was, you know, if he would be able to pick her up from work because she got off later and the bus wasn't running and she would, you know, didn't have a ride home. And this is about 11 o'clock at night. When she called him, he says to her, well, that sounds like to me you have a problem. I told you I had things to do this evening. I had plans. So now you're going to call me and I'm supposed to stop what I'm doing to come pick you up from work and take you home and then just continue on with what it is that I'm doing?
I wish I would say that to my mother.
He said this. He said you should have made sure you got off early enough to catch the bus. I got to go. I'll talk to you later.
I wish I would.
Hmm.
I wish I would have said that to Teresa Richmond. Do you know I would be 12 feet underground right now?
12:24. And I sat there speechless because I heard him saying this, and I'm thinking to myself, you can't be talking to your mother. You cannot be saying these things to your mother. So when he hung up the phone, I asked him, I said, was that your mom? He said, yeah, she missed her bus, and now I'm supposed to just go downtown and pick her up. I said, yeah, you are. He was
you don't have a choice.
I'm not going downtown. I'm not driving downtown to pick her up. She can catch a cab. She can call a ride. I said, but you were her ride.
She called a ride. She called you, fool.
That's what I told him. I said, you are her ride. And, you know, he looked at me as if to say, well, I ain't going downtown to pick her up. And we were on our way. We had been out to dinner, and we were on our way to a friend of his birthday party. And I was like, the birthday party is not as important as your mom getting home. And he was like, I'm not driving downtown. I was quite salty for the rest of the night, and I will honestly say after that, I never saw him again.
Yeah, and this is why that's important.
Yeah. Because, okay. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, well, hell, if I get stranded somewhere and you are with your boys and I call you for a ride, shit, you wouldn't go pick up your mother.
Right.
I know you're not going to come pick up me. So when I say you need to see what kind of relationship, I mean, I'm not saying you're going to meet the parents right away or whatever, but you need to find out what kind of relationship this man has with his mother and even the father. That's important, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, please chime in. I'm sorry. I got a little...
Yeah, now, the parent thing...
I just started feeling a certain kind of way about that all of a sudden.
But no, I mean, that makes a major difference in a relationship, period, because first of all, I'm a family man. You can't tell me anything over my family. I choose them before and everybody. I don't care how long we've been together. So everybody knows that about me. But if we're out and even your little cousin calls and says, hey, I'm in desperate need of your help. Hell yeah. You're my blood. This person is from come and go at any given time. If you're not about family, then what can we possibly build together?
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
That's all there is to it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's the end of the storyline.
Right. So when you see how they value family, then you see how they respect you enough never to put you in a position where you feel as though you have to choose between them or your family. And what's important with the mother and father role as it relates to males and females, how her father treats her is how she's going to expect the man to treat her. How her mother acts is how she's going to act. How his father acts is how he's going to act. And how his mother acts is what he's going to expect from the woman. Now, when you get the household where it's restructured, where it would be either one parent or a step-parent, then you start to get into some hurdles because then with females, you're like, oh, well, why does she keep choosing this type of man? Well, she doesn't really, she's never really had that, so she doesn't really know what she deserves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when it comes to males, it's like, well, he's never really had that, so you, he can't really, you know, he doesn't really know what to be because he's never had somebody be that to him. Now, of course, there are no excuses, and we have other family members that would step in and chime in.
You're right to say that.
You know, that family structure is definitely important. That's a good one. Sorry, yeah, that's my son.
And that's okay, because we do what we do, because at the end of the day, we are parents first. Outside of everything else, we are parents first. You should have just let him say hi.
Oh, hold on.
Kayla.
Say hi.
Hi.
Hi, Caleb. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm good.
Now I'm watching
Caleb. I think Caleb is the first young person we've ever had in the Red Room.
He's made history.
He just made history. I mean, I just, you know, when it, the whole parent thing, I think we kind of overlook it and later on see things that we should have seen earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm glad that I was able to see that, and I will honestly say to you, this guy treated me very well. There was nothing that, I could have asked, that I ever asked for, which I don't ask for much because I don't ask, but he just basically, you know, he was a great guy. Great guy. But I just was not comfortable with the way he treated his mother. Because if there was ever a time in my life that my son ever I wouldn't even want him to be, he never met my children, but there is no way I would ever want him to meet my son, because if my son saw how this man treated his mother,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't even want my son to see that I was even associating myself with a man that treated his mother that way. Because, you know, people always say being a single parent, you know, you have to, a son has to have a man in his life. Being a single parent, a daughter has to have the father in his life, in her life, because that male piece is so important for a son to know what a man is supposed to be like and how a man is supposed to present himself. And a daughter needs to see that protective piece of what it feels like to be protected by a man, so she'll know that that's what she should be expecting from a man in her life.
Mm-hmm.
We make it happen, whether that parent is there or not. Because I will honestly say, my son, I teach him what, because I am a single mother, I teach him what I won't settle for from a man. So these are the things that you need to know and understand. You go out here and you treat a woman like this, she's not going to accept that from you. A decent woman, a woman who loves herself, she is not, now you can get at any kind of girl acting that way.
Right.
But if you want a real, a woman who is of value, who knows herself, who loves herself, a God-fearing woman who knows that she is truly a queen, she's not going to tolerate that. So just know and understand, don't be this kind of man. And for my daughter, James, you already know Ashley. I still say to this very day, that chick does not take tea for the fever. As the old folks used to say, you are not going to come at her any kind of way, because she will shut you down quick, fast, and in a hurry. And
Ashley,
I don't know if that's
too.
Because you know Ashley. You know my Ashley, too?
We all went to see him in Decatur.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. Are we going to have a reunion in the Red Room?
Who's your daughter, Shelly?
Ashley Garrett.
Oh my goodness, are you serious?
Ashley, aren't you on the
wow.
phone today?
Wow.
She's in the red room with us, but you know she's a new mom, so she's probably doing the mom thing right now. I'm actually able to see the studio right now, so she is in the red room with us. So whenever she gets a chance, I hope she will chime in and give us her feedback, because when I tell you, I am so proud of the woman that she has become. I mean, it is absolutely incredible to see her grow and become the person that she is. I would say that I've learned being a single woman, I've learned something from my daughter. Because when I tell you that you do not step to her any kind of way, because she will let you know, this is what I expect. I know who I am. I know my value. I know my worth. Therefore, you cannot mm-hmm. come to me and think that you're going to treat me this kind of way, because that's not what I'm going to tolerate. And if we just, as women, would have that attitude and not be in that place of, oh, let me see how you're going to treat me first, and then I'll decide if that's what I'll take. If we stop doing that, I think we truly could create some kind of change in relationships.
Yeah, now let me chime in on that one, Shelley, because I wanted to chime in earlier when you were talking about your son and when you were telling him about a valuable woman to date. I honestly feel like, and it could be me, but I honestly feel like women who think like us are becoming more of a minority. And the majority of what they see of what, you know, and it could be male and female, but majority of what they're being exposed to is people that don't really have morals, you know, people that don't really have goals, people that are just selling it for anything right now because they want companionship. And I've seen it so many times. And when dudes mm-hmm. approach me, you know, just how your daughter is, wait a minute, hold on. I'm not trying to be rude to you, but I want to let you know that, hey, this is where we are with this. You are this. I am this. You will not talk to me like that. You will not approach me like that. You won't cross this boundary. You won't say that. You won't do that. And if you have a problem with that, then, okay, see you later. You know what I'm saying? I would rather be single and happy than be in a relationship wishing that this person would leave me alone.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're right. I think that is more of the minority, because so many people are desperately seeking companionship. And as a result mm-hmm. of that desperation, they're just accepting anything. Which is true.
Yeah, and then you also have so many avenues. Like, you have so much that's on the internet nowadays. Yeah, so many avenues for them to be exposed to so much that it's like, all right, well, what's going to make you different? Okay, so you right. holding out? Bah. I mean, I could go out to the survivors. You know what I'm saying? All right, which, like people say, what you're not willing to do, the next woman is, and all this stuff. I'm, you know, it's a lot.
Right, it is. Okay, next question. And this is one that a lot of people, this is going to create some controversy, because I've been told that it's a question that you shouldn't bring up, something that you shouldn't talk about, and I kind of disagree. And I think Ashley and I had this conversation, and we agreed that it is something that should be discussed, contrary to, you know, popular opinion. I think the question of your past relationship should be asked, but not to the point where you start going into, yeah, she did this and she did that, or he did this and he did that, and this, that, and the other. I think if it's asked in the right kind of way, it will tell you whether or not that person is ready to be in a relationship. And I think this is important, because so many times people jump out there after something in their past has ended, mm-hmm. and then they're not ready. But in order to avoid dealing with the past, they just keep life moving. But the question is, and this is a question that Ashley added to the list, not how did your past relationship end or what caused your past relationship to end, because really and truly, who cares? Because 9 times out of 10, the person is not going to tell you the truth. Because Well, you know, that James, we know you're one of a kind. Not everybody's as brutally honest as some of us are. But, I mean, think about it. If a person says, well, you know, what happened in your past relationship? Oh, I cheated on him and, you know, I got caught. So, you know, it just, you know, he couldn't deal with it, so it ended. I mean,
that I don't need to be with you. End of story.
But exactly. Exactly. But a person 9 times out of 10 is not going to present themselves with that story, with that answer. So to ask that question, my whole theory is sometimes there are questions that I don't ask depending on how I ask it, because all I know is I'm doing is asking you to tell me a lie. So now all I'm going to do is piss myself off. Because you're going to lie to me, and now I'm going to be pissed off. But it's how you say what you say and how you ask what it is that you want to know. So the question I think we should be asking about the past relationship, and this is so key and so important, is how long was your last relationship, and what did you learn from it?
I think those are very good questions, and I'm glad that Ashley did come up with that, because I feel like those questions are important for two reasons. One, because it speaks to the person's level of commitment and their stick-to-itiveness and their ability to work through anything that goes wrong. And then two, it speaks to, you know, am I being fair to myself? You know, are they ready, as you said, Shelley, because you have to understand that if that proper time hasn't gone past, there will be things that they're going to take out on you, and it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with them not giving themselves that time to fully release and fully get all of that out of their system before they jump back in.
But this question is one, and I can't take credit for this. I really and truly can't. This was a question that Ashley added to the list. And when she added this to the list, I thought about it, and I was like, you know what? It's the one question that we ask the wrong way. We want to know the answer, but we don't ask it the right way. Because how long was your last relationship? Like you said, Ashley, it tells what is your level of commitment. If it was 3 months, 3 months, you can just date for 3 months. You could be a hookup for 3 months. 3 months, to me, is not a long time. But if somebody says 3 years, that means that you were able to commit yourself to being in a relationship for 3 years, or call it a relationship for 3 years, or actually deal with this person for 3 years. But the last part to the question is when she said that, I thought it gave me a wow moment, because that gives that person an opportunity to either place blame or actually see a lesson. And if a person is still placing blame, they're not ready.
Right.
They're not ready. Because if that person says, yeah, she did this and she did that, she wasn't this, and he kept hanging out with his friends and he wouldn't give me the time that I needed or whatever, that's still placing blame. The question is, what did you learn from your past relationship? That takes the focus off of the other person that you were in the relationship with and putting the focus on yourself, saying, I learned from my past relationship that was for 3 years that I offered more to this relationship than I was receiving. And at some point, I had to say to myself, I deserved more. And I was bold enough to walk away and say, I can't do this anymore.
That's one question I've never been asked, though, is what have I learned from my
career? You've never been asked that question before?
I mean, I've been asked by, you know, friends and family, but I've never been asked by, I'll just say a new situation. Like, I've been asked, well, why aren't y'all together no more? How long are y'all together? But the person has never asked me, what did you learn? And now, granted, as time goes on, depending on who the person is, you know, we might discuss my previous relationship or their previous, but it's never mentioned, you know, what did you learn? But, like, in my mind, I know what I've learned and what I'm trying to avoid, or what I know. Now I know what to look out for. I just say that. And for some apparent freaking reason, I keep running into the same situation. And me and one of my best friends had a conversation last night when we went out. I told him about the current person I'm dealing with. He says, well, God is trying to tell you something. What is it? I said, well, I don't know. I wish you would just tell me that. Because this has happened repeatedly.
I think self-realization helps when you hear it. When you hear what you learn, especially what you learn about yourself, because, you know, like Shelly said, it's so easy to put the blame on the other person, but when you step back and you actually analyze it, you're looking, okay, you know, what was my wrong part in this? You know, how could I have done it better? You know, what is it that I'm willing to accept? What is it that I'm not willing to accept moving forward? It just helps you. I think it helps create a healthy avenue to a better relationship life.
I just, it's one of those where the past relationship is so very important to understand why that person is single. I know when I first became single, one of the things that I realized when I realized I wasn't ready to date was when the question was asked, you know, because everybody asks that question. So, you know, why are you single? That's the question that, you know, a person asks. And it can come across in such a way that you either, I mean, I've actually been asked that question in a way that made me want to be honest, smack the shit out of the person that asked the question, because the way they asked it, I've been asked, so why are you single? What's wrong with you? And it's like, and I get that. I get asked that question so many times because I don't know, for some apparent reason, I guess a person thinks that if you, you know, if you're funny and you're intelligent and you're attractive and you're female and you're single, something's wrong with you.
Right.
But when I knew that I wasn't ready to be dating, when that question was asked, why am I single, and I started telling that damn story. Well, what happened was I was married and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and I realized that I was reciting the same story over and over again. It was like, Shelly, no, you're not ready. Because I wasn't, I hadn't moved past the place that I was still sitting in, realizing that that was in the past, and you can't move forward until you move past that.
Right.
But
right.
When it depends on how the question is asked, and I think that the key to that question is how it's asked. You know, and now, I mean, I'm still single, so when a person asks me that question, you know, what did you learn from your past relationship? I have a list of things, but they're all positive. They're all, you know, I learned who I am. I learned that I am interesting, that I am, you know, I have a lot to offer to a person, that I'm, you know, I'm this, I'm that. And what I learned was that I can't allow someone else to, and this is key, and this is, I think this is one of the things that a lot of times if a woman comes to a man with this one, he will either be able to appreciate it, or ladies, know and understand, you're never going to hear from him again. because he's not going to be able to handle the answer. And are you ready for this? When a woman can get to the point when she answers the question, what did you learn from your last relationship, especially if it's one where so many of us have been, I've learned that I cannot allow a man to define me and who I am, and I cannot lose myself in a relationship. He's either going to do one or two things. He's going to be like, oh, damn. And see, that's the kind of woman I'm looking for. Or he's going to be like, no, I ain't going to be able to control her. Because there are men out there looking for that purpose. They want to be able to control, to manipulate, to be able to get you to do the things that they want you to do and to, you know, just respond and react in the way that they want you to. Because, and I'm going to tell you, the key to that kind of man is the man that is a question that we should be asking that we never, ever said in the show tonight is a man that ain't single. The one question we didn't ask or we didn't talk about is, are you single? Because a man that is not single or a woman that is not single, and I'm not even going to sugarcoat this and pretend that it's only men that do this. There are women that are just as guilty of it as men. One thing I don't do is I don't put men out there and try to bash them and pretend that they're the only ones that do the things that we talk about. We have not talked about that.
That's the first thing I ask. Don't tell me your name. Are you single? Oh, you're not? Okay. Goodbye.
Okay, but what if they say they are?
Then fine, I'll ask what your name is.
Nah, I'm Inspector Gadget. You tell me that you're single, I'm going to look for you on Facebook, I'm going to look for you on Instagram and see if I know anybody that you know so I can figure out if you're telling me the truth or not.
Oh,
well,
see,
y'all
know
they
can be so opaque.
What I found out in all of my situations.
So opaque and so tricky that there's, that the social, this, do you know and understand that I know so many married men who are on Facebook, Instagram, and their wives are so totally disconnected from their social media sites, which you would never even know. They have a
See,
whole
what
separate
I, what I found out,
group of friends.
What I found
they have a totally different friend list. All of their friends that they are connected with on social media are the people that they know either know they're who they are and are married and cheating, or they're new people that they've met but don't know that they're married. Let's not forget our show about being catfished. I mean, come on now. Just asking that question, are you single? Yes, it is the prelude to a list of other questions. And we might not need to get into that tonight because that could take us down a different road, because there are keys that you can determine whether or not he is truly single or she is truly single. Because, again, I will say there are women out there that I still say, and I know somebody's probably going to give me some shit for this, women run game better than men.
We do.
Because men are messy with it.
Women
have finesse. We're far more sophisticated at it. And we get caught less.
Right.
When a woman gets caught running game, she's not on her game.
Right.
So,
right. Her head is in the clouds.
She slipped. She slipped somewhere. Hey, we're going to give you the truth, because women are planners. We see things in advance. I'm not going to say we're better liars. We probably are, but we don't want to take on that title either. But if that's the role that they're going to play, they're going to be good at it. So don't get it twisted. Men get to the point where they think women are not as intelligent as we are, so they think they can tell you any lie that they want to tell you, and you're just going to believe it. But the asking the question, are you single, there's still a list of other things that you have to see, pay attention to, and other questions that you can ask before you can determine whether or not they are. And one of the shows that we were going to do, and I think, James, we might need to do it now that I'm talking about it, is how to spot the invisible ring.
How to stop it?
How to spot it. There are so many married men and women who don't, I mean, we see, you know, a wedding band, oh, he's married. That may mean absolutely nothing because, trust me, in the work that I do, you would be amazed and surprised at the number of men who are sitting just with the wedding band on, you know, I mean, and nice ones, too. I'm like, y'all spend some money on those. But you want to know whether or not you can take me out for a drink. Really? Really? Almost makes me want to turn my head like sideways and the eyebrow going way up in my hairline. No. But so many women fall for it that they feel like they can do it. But there's the ones who don't wear the wedding ring, men and women, that can fool you and make you believe that they truly are single. That question is one that you can ask, and I have it on the list, but I think there's some deeper questions that you should ask, some things that you need to pay attention to, and know and understand that until you reach a certain place, you have to know and understand that it may not be what it appears to be. But we're not even going to go into, we're not going to go down that path because I think that's another show. Because, James, you know that's how
tonight.
We do. One show kind of leads into another show. It just happens. Ashley and James, do y'all have any other questions that you want to add to the list? Because I want to talk about some don't ask questions. I know we said we were going to do the must ask, but I want to talk about some don't ask questions. Anything else you want to add?
It's an in-between question. It's kind of a must ask, but then it's also a don't want to ask because you don't want to offend anybody.
Ask it.
Your status.
Okay.
Your health status.
Ooh.
Are you, yeah. I mean,
okay.
I'm just saying that you have to ask the question. And now, granted, me, I've learned to, I never asked somebody up front, let me just say that. But what I have found out is that people have always felt comfortable enough to tell me eventually when they're ready. Now, I've had one person tell me out the random blue, just like, well, whether you like it or not, or, but he was kind of aggressive about it. Like, he thought I was just going to let him go completely. But when he told me he was positive, I was like, okay, what's the problem? I'm all right with it. That's because I hated on it. But, you know, the way you came at me, that's what offended me. The way you came at me with your response. Now,
do you think that was to push you away or was it to boldly inform you?
No, I think it was more so because people are so prejudiced and ignorant towards it these days that when somebody tells another one of their, you know, their health status, that they automatically get rejected. So
okay.
I think maybe he just thought I was going to let him go and just say they get it.
Okay. I think that's a great question to ask. And it was one of the questions that we have on the list of, it's a don't ask, but it's a at the right time. Because the first date, I mean, you don't even know whether or not you're going to finish dinner. I'll be honest. We talked about one of my hell dates where, I got to drink, appetizer, and ordered my food, and before the food got there, I asked the lady to put it in a box. Because I was like, check, please. Because this is not going to, I'm going to be home in time to watch whatever I recorded on my DVR. But if you realize that this is someone that you've connected with and you want to continue to see, I think the question that you should ask is, you know, is in that direction. You know, when was the last time you were tested and what were your results? And I think that can kind of open the door to, you know, the response that you got, James, because, I mean, bottom line, these are things you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I still say, people can say that I'm wrong about this. I think that men and women both know when they initially meet and agree to have some form of communication to get to know each other, they know whether or not it could possibly lead in the direction of both of y'all being naked. Maybe it's me. I'm just, and I'm not going to say that it actually led to that, because at some point the brakes were put on. It was like, no, ain't going to happen. But I think the initial attraction is physical, and it is intellectual, but that physical piece has to be there. So if it is someone that you are connecting with, I think that is a question that should be asked or something that should be discussed at some point. Now, one question I think that should never be asked, and since we're on that in the sexual aspect of this, because, you know, we could talk about everything in the red room. So we're going to talk about sex. You know, we don't discriminate on any topic. I think the one question that should never be asked, and this is one that is like, really, did you ask that question? I've never been asked this question, but I do know that I've heard people say, so-and-so, can you believe this woman asked me or this guy asked me, how many sexual partners have you had? Really? I mean, what is the purpose for that question? I mean, now, I'm going to say this. Depending on your age, I will say that there's maybe, you know, there's a generational gap here. Depending on your age, that question could possibly be one that could be asked. But at a certain age, don't ask that question, because all you're going to do is set yourself up for a lie.
I'm about to say,
because it doesn't really have any relevance.
In my age group, you have to ask that question.
You think so?
No,
yeah.
On the contrary, though, because I feel as though, you know, with the frame of mind that we have as far as, okay, you know, there are certain things that we want to discuss, there are certain things that we don't want to discuss, I've been asked that question, and I directly do not answer that question. I directly dance around and move on.
Okay.
I'm not ashamed of how many partners that I have, because I can pretty much bet that my number is definitely lower than a lot of people, but it's just like, why is that of any importance? Because you asking me that has made me not even want to even try or even let you try anything like that with me.
Right. I think it's such a question that is so irrelevant, but it does often get asked. So I think that's on the don't ask list. Because I think at some point, if it's been, you know, I mean, we all have a past. If it's been way more than we probably should have had, are you really going to tell the truth? Maybe, maybe not. And if it has only been, you know, if you're 40 years old and you've only had two, I don't know.
I find it hard.
But it could possibly be the truth for somebody. So I think, you know, it's just one of those questions where you're just opening the door to somebody either being honest with you and you're not wanting to hear the answer, or being dishonest and you're just going to believe a lie. So that's one of those questions that just stay away from that. Just don't ask how many partners. And I think the you know, when was the last time you were tested and what were your results, that is so important. And I think as far as sex is concerned, that should be the only topic of discussion that relates to your previous partners. Because no matter how many of them you've had in the past, if you've had one and you tested negative, then that's, I mean, that's, let's just flip that around. If you've had one and you tested positive, but you've had 40 and you tested negative, really, where does that put you? I just think it's irrelevant. I think the question of you being tested and what your test results are so much more important than you know, how many people it's been. I mean, you could have gone through 20 people that were just, like, so totally just, they were awful, and it doesn't even matter. Or you could have gone through 20 that were just absolutely incredible and mind-blowing, but they were complete assholes. So what does that tell you? I just think it's a question that is totally irrelevant. One question that I think that in today's society we kind of feel that it's important to ask is about finances. I just think that's something we need to stay away from, because on a getting to know you place, now I do know and understand that you want to see, you know, how well a person, you know, handles their finances, but I think one of the questions that will tell you that without asking your credit score and how much you make, because, you know, there are some people who ask, so what's your credit score? I think the question, Ashley, that you talked about was, you know, what are your goals and what are your dreams and what are you doing to get to that place will tell you how serious they are about themselves and how important the future is, and that does have a piece that is your credit and your finances. So I just think one of those, I just know women who say, if his credit score isn't such and such, then we will never go out. Okay, fine. In today's economy, sister girl, I hope you find him with the 900 credit score, because his name isn't even Donald Trump.
Huh? I said the student loans are the devil, and they are a death trap for everybody that has
exactly.
them.
Exactly. Exactly. We're winding down to the close of the show, but this is the last thing that I want to add. And at this point, I want y'all to just chime in and close the show out. I think that there are some key things that when we're dating that we should look for. And that is, one, when the person only talks about themselves, they don't ask you questions. They don't want to find out anything about you. All they want to do is elevate themselves and make themselves appear to be this great person. And they don't care about anything you have to say. When a person, when you, and secondly, when you ask the questions and the person can't look you in the face or look in your eyes when they answer you the questions, That should be a concern.
Yeah.
And my all-time favorite, this is my all-time favorite, this will make me check please, walk away from the table, dinner, movie. Trust me, I've left the dude in the movie theater. Yes, I did. And I always drive. If you are constantly on your phone texting, on any social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, I'm sorry. If we are on a date and you can't put your phone away, I need not ever see you again.
I think Caleb is agreeing.
What did you say?
I think Caleb is agreeing.
As a young man, Caleb even knows and understands. When you want a date, make it be about the person that you're with. If it's you're having dinner with her at her house, she's gone through this elaborate process of making dinner for you, but you're sitting on your phone texting your boys, or you're on Facebook and you're doing, you know, commenting on Instagram. You can do that tomorrow. Instagram, I can go on Instagram, and I still suck with social media, but I'm learning because James is forcing me to. I can see posts on Instagram from a month ago. I mean, seriously, is it that important? Facebook is going to be there tomorrow. You can tweet the next day about something that happened yesterday. If it's about that person, make it be about that person. Dates should be about getting to know each other, seeing whether or not there's a connection there. But if it's not, don't waste the time and move on. Know what you want.
Actually, we have... go ahead. Finish that off real quick.
Know what you want. Give what you have to give. But when what you're giving, you're not getting in return, know you have to walk away. It is better to be alone. I didn't say lonely, but it is better to be alone than to be in a relationship or dating someone that does not love you like you love yourself. Because at the end of the day, it's about two people coming together and making that connection where both people are happy. It should never be a one-sided thing. And that's all I have to say.
Before we get off the call, we missed two callers earlier because they're watching Scandal now. But we do have a caller from somewhere here in Atlanta. I see a 678 number. The last four digits are 8330. I am unmuting your line now. Welcome to the Red Room. Right, tell us where you are. How can we help you today? Hello?
Oh, caller is in a car. And they have a lot of feedback in the background.
Can you hear me?
Caller?
Yes, we can hear you.
All right, very quickly. My name is Q. I happen to be in Atlanta. I'm going to make a quick statement. I know you guys got to go, but I also want to hear what your thought on it. I just look at a relationship like this. Some people want to control you. Some people want to add to you. The trick is trying to find out who sincerely wants to add to you as opposed to just control you. If you make an accommodation for somebody that has a controlling spirit in operation, then that's on you. What are your thoughts?
Caller, if I'm understanding the question correctly, you're saying that when you're in a relationship with someone who has the need to control you, that's on you as the individual and not the other person?
No, I'm saying I look at relationships, people who come into your life are either trying to control you, whether it be for sex, your car, whatever the case may be, and then you got people who are sincerely trying to add to your circle. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, as a guy, you understand that a lot of ladies are trying to be opportunists. That's the word I use. You find that a lot of guys are trying to be time wasters. Your goal as the victim is to ensure that your eyes are not bigger than your stomach, and that you're not wasting time with a person who is an opportunist or a time waster, somebody that's sincere about adding to you. Your thoughts.
Right. Carla, your comment is just one that I really think that we need to touch on, but unfortunately we're about to run out of time. I ask next week. Next Thursday night, we will be back in the Red Room. I would love it if you would join us. We are about to run out of time. It's so unfortunate because that's such a hot topic that I want to talk about. But
definitely.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us in the Red Room, and we have to say good night.